In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. This is part 6, volume 22, August 21st, 1927. My daughter Louisa, I end it with the world, I can take it no more. So here, I can take no more, Jesus says. Here we begin this in 1927, where Jesus is basically what he said to his apostles. He says, how long must I endure you? And here Jesus is saying it again. I can take it no more. That was 1927. The amount of sin that we have found ourselves in today goes far beyond what was happening in 1927. And the Lord needs us to recognize the time that we're living in. You know, some people say, well, it's really not that bad. I've had people say that. You know, we're killing babies continuously. We're sacrificing babies to Moloch, basically. There's alternative lifestyles all around, marriages that are happening that just was never part of God's plan. And the amount of drugs and alcohol and abuse, you know, pornography, the addictions that are out there. We're living basically in a time when it seems like grace has been taken away. And I think what the Lord is asking of us is to understand the time we're living in. This is very important. Jesus says he wants the little children of the holy divine will to bring about a new beginning. So she says, Jesus says, the offenses, the pains they give me are too many. Therefore, it is necessary that I, God, destroy them. This is exactly what happened in the time of Noah. God said, I can take it no longer. And he repaired the world. He renewed the world. He washed the world clean. The first purification was the flood of water. The second purification was Jesus dying on the cross, shedding every drop of his blood, and Our Lady co-redeeming with him. And now the third purification is fire. And again, it's Jesus and Mary. And it's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire of God is going to come upon the earth. Jesus says, I'm going to consume the world in love. And those that do not want love will have to go. That do not want to live in the image and likeness of God has to go. They can't stay here. So Jesus says, the pains and the offenses, they are way too many. And therefore, it's necessary that I destroy them. And Louisa prayed, I prayed that Jesus spare them, placing his blood and his pains and his life and his eternal will before him. And Jesus, in all goodness, told me, my daughter Louisa, the power of the prayers of the acts of the pains suffered in my will is unreachable. While you were praying and suffering, my blood, my steps, my works were praying. My pains were being multiplied and repeated. So all that is done in it gives me the occasion to repeat again what I, God, did while being on earth. And this is the greatest act in order to placate divine justice. So here Louisa stands in the breach, like Moses, pleading for the people of God, praying in the divine will. The power of the prayers, the power of the acts, the pains, the suffered, Jesus says, in my divine will is unreachable. So we learn, you know, how to pray this way. She placed his blood, his pains, his life, his eternal will before Jesus. And this is what we have to learn in the divine will. The prayers of the saints were good and holy and saintly, but they're not powerful enough to stop what's coming. The only thing that can alter this or placate God, as Jesus says, is his life. And Louisa gave his life back to him. And Jesus says very clearly, he says, While you were praying and suffering, my blood, my steps, my works were praying, and my pains were being multiplied and repeated. So all that is done in the divine will gives me, God, the occasion to repeat again what I, God, did while being on earth. And then he says this, this is for us. This is the greatest act in order to placate divine justice. Now look at your family and your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, all the people that are really, if you want to say, not living the life that they should be living. Jesus is saying this is how he can be placated. This is how he can give them, it's almost like more love than each and every one of us deserve. And that's what God is asking. He's asking us to begin to pray in the divine will, to learn how to pray in the divine will. This is not something that has been seen ever before by the saints. You can't learn it from the saints, because Jesus gave this only to Louisa. It's hers. And if you want to learn how to pray in the divine will, you have to link yourself with Louisa. You have to go to Louisa. Volume 22nd, August 28th, 1927. You must know that my divine will has its first act in the conception of me, the eternal word. And your love and your acts are just acts of justice. And they are necessary for the conception of the divine will in the humanity of your Jesus. Because the first kingdom it laid was in my holy humanity. So Jesus is giving us another insight, another reason why he wants us to do our acts and our rounds of the divine will. He says, you have to understand this, that my divine will had its first act in the conception of me. And this is human, the eternal word, Jesus Christ. So he says, Louisa, this is what you have to do. This is what the little children of the holy divine will have to do. Your love and your acts are acts of justice, and therefore they're necessary for the conception of the divine will in the humanity of your Jesus. Why? Because the first kingdom it laid was in Jesus's most holy humanity. So he's saying, when we do our acts and our rounds in the divine will linked to Jesus, we're participating in his life. We're participating in that great gift of the divine will. And this is why we were created. Jesus is asking us to link ourselves with Louisa so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. So that we, by our acts and our rounds, call down the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is the fulfillment of the Our Father. She, Louisa, is the only one who has done it. Our Lady did it because she's mother and queen. Theotokos, Our Lady lived this. But now Jesus is asking us to live the life of Jesus and the life of Mary through this newborn, Louisa Picaretta. So he says this, now in order to give you, Louisa, the right that it might reign in you with divine justice, it demanded your love while it conceived conceived in my holy humanity. So here he says, right at the very beginning, he says, Louisa, the right that you, the divine will, may reign in you with justice. It demanded your love while it conceived, while the divine was conceived in his holy humanity. So now you do nothing but give the divine will its rights, providing to the divine will what is needed to so as to have the divine will conceived in you, for you to receive the rights to have the divine will lay its kingdom and take its in hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion. Here, Jesus is saying, Louisa, when I was conceived, you were conceived in me. And therefore, he says, you have to understand this. It's given you the right because the divine will was conceived in you when the divine will was conceived in me. For you to receive the rights to have the divine will lay its kingdom in Louisa, a human, and take in hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion. The scepter of command is in Jesus' hand. You see it in all his statues of Christ the King. The scepter of command is in Our Lady's hand. She is the queen, mother and queen. And now they have a newborn. And Jesus says, you have to understand this. You must know this. That when you were conceived with me, when Jesus was conceived, when the divine will was, when the divine will began in the womb of Mary, he says very clearly, now you have the right to take in your own hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion. See, this is what God gave to Adam, and Adam fell. And Adam was supposed to teach us all this. And now Jesus says, because Adam fell, I, as the new Adam, I came to earth to give this gift back to mankind. And he says, you, Louisa, are the firstborn. You, Louisa, are the one where Adam fell, where everything ended with Adam. It begins again with you. It began in the Son of God. It began in the Mother of God. Absolutely, because that they're the Son of God, the Mother of God. But a human, like Adam was human, Jesus says, I begin again. So the scepter of command is with absolute dominion is in your hand, Louisa. So this gives us a clue of picturing Louisa with a scepter of command in her hand. Because Jesus says it. She is a human. She's not the Son of God. She's not the Mother of God. But she is the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. So when we look at Louisa, we have to see her more than just this old woman in bed. Jesus says to her, you have the scepter of command with absolute dominion. You, Louisa Picaretta. And Jesus has given us the Book of Heaven. He didn't give it to St. Francis. He didn't give it to St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't give it to St. Pius X. St. Pius X heard about it, but it wasn't given to him. It's given to us. We have all 36 volumes. Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. So what you do, Louisa, so what to you, Louisa, seems nothing as something strange enters into the first act of the divine will. And your Jesus, looking at you, Louisa, taking you, Louisa, by the hand, takes you, Louisa, into that act in which he conceived, he was conceived in the maternal womb in order to let you place your love, your pains, so that your acts may not be missing in an act so great, God becoming man, that gave the beginning to the kingdom of the divine will in the human family. So here, Jesus tells us later that we also, all of us, participated in the birth of Christ, the conception of Christ. We were all conceived in the womb of Mary. This is something that's extraordinary. This is something that our Lord has asked of us. Now, scientifically, we know that when a woman gives birth to a child, the cells of that child are always with the mother. They're always... here where we understand that we, scientifically, Jesus says, I mean, before this was even known, we were conceived with Jesus in the womb of Mary. How glorious is this? Do you see our calling? Do you see our nobility? Do you see how Jesus is going to clothe us with divinity? Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of divinity. And what Our Lady and Our Lord keep on telling us through this great gift of the divine will, we're going to go back to where we were originally created for. This is what we were created for. We were created to be in God's image and likeness, to have a divine nobility, not to be filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, not to be filled with all these addictions and far from God. No, that's not why we were made. We were created by God to participate in Him. And Jesus says, and this is the reason why in all the acts I, Jesus, did while on earth, I, God, call your love to bind itself to my acts nor do I, God, want you to let even one escape you. So here, he's saying every heartbeat, every breath, every step, every gaze, and everything that you think, say, and do, he says, I want it to be bound to my acts. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus, swim in my swimming. He says, I want this. I call your love to bind itself to my acts. So why do we do our prevene act in the morning? Because of the love of God. We love Jesus. We love Mary. We love the Son of God, the Mother of God. We love our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, nor do I, God, want you to let even one act escape you. He says, be attentive. Be attentive what you're doing. These rites of justice that my divine will demands. These are links of connection in order to give you, Louisa, the right that it might reign in you. So Jesus is teaching Louisa, and he's saying to us, if you link yourself to Louisa, the one who possesses this, you also will have the right that the divine will might reign in you. It's to be attentive continuously. You know, it's a lot of people go, well, then I have it. No, we want it. Jesus says that it might reign in you. A lot of people go to confession and they say, well, that's it. I'm healed. I'm free. Nothing's going to bother me again. And they fall immediately back into sin because they're not attentive. The devil is like St. Peter says, is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's always there. So we have to learn how to be attentive. Never put our guard down. We are in battle. Never let our guard down. That's just one reason why it's a mortal sin to get stoned and to get drunk. Because you're not in control. And what happens when those things occur, when those times occur, you fall into grave sin. Our job is to be attentive. Our job is to be seeking God, longing for God, going to God. And that's what God is asking for. So he says this, therefore, follow your Jesus without any concern. Draw close to Jesus. Never leave Jesus. Always be near Jesus. You know, have a crucifix in every room. Look at Jesus constantly. Jesus, you know, I need you. You are my Lord, my Savior, my God. You're my all. I never want to be separated from you. I always want to be near you. You know, this is what the Lord is asking. Follow your Jesus without any concern. Volume 23, September 21st, 1927. As you, Louisa, ask for my kingdom in each created thing, you place all the offices of the acts of my supreme volition in exercise around the divine being in you, Louisa. Make our divine goodness, our divine power, our divine justice, our divine mercy, our divine love, our divine wisdom. Asking for the kingdom of our divine will. See, we're participating in God. We're that drop of nothing. We are nothing. And that we that drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity. And he says this very clearly. Louisa, ask for my kingdom in each created thing. Participate, place yourself in the office of my acts, of my supreme volition. You know, he says, exercise around the divine being, and you make our goodness, power, justice, mercy, love, wisdom. You're putting that, asking for the kingdom of the divine will to come on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see why the prayers of the saints can't compare to the prayers of the divine will? It's Jesus praying in our praying. It's Jesus commanding in our commanding. It's not us. We're nothing. When I hear people say, well, I live in the divine will, I do divine acts, that's completely insane. No human can do divine acts. But when we say, Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command, We humbly surrender our prayer to Jesus. Just like Peter. On the water, Peter says, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. He says, come. Peter walked on the water. He did a divine thing. Why? Because he gave his prayer to Jesus. Jesus accomplished it. And that's what we want. We want Jesus to accomplish his prayers in us. Because he can do it as Lord and King, as Master, as God. All we do is we ask him. We humbly beg him, take this prayer and make it your command. This is the reason why the miracles that are going to come through Louisa are going to astonish the world. Jesus says, I don't want these Band-Aid miracles anymore. I want to pray in your praying. I want to breathe in your breathing. If you allow me, watch what will happen. See, it's not just to be healed. Everybody that was healed by the saints 100 years ago is dead. Jesus says, look, I'm tired of that. I want complete restoration. And that's what he's asking of us. Volume 23, September 28th, 1927. If you, Louisa, want to calm me when you see me restless, lend yourself to the carrying out of the life of my holy divine will in you. And as you, Louisa, make all its acts your own, I, God, shall find in you divine light, divine sanctity, divine and infinite joys, giving me, God, rest. And I, God, shall take a little break from chastising and the creatures who, because of these divine lives that they destroy within themselves, so much deserve that I destroy all the natural goods, even their very lives. But you, Louisa, he says, you carry out my life of my divine will in you. And he says, and this blessing of you living in my divine will be given to all mankind. So he says this, Louisa, don't you see how the sea goes out of its shore and advances to snatch these lives into the bosom and to bury them in it? The wind, the earth, are almost all the elements advance to make a snatch at creatures and destroy them. These are acts of my divine will spread in creation for the love of them. But having not been received with love, they are now converted into justice. So here Jesus is saying to Louisa, the nature comes against man because man, he says very clearly, has not received what God has given to them with thankfulness, with love. He says, not having received them with love, now the nature, creatures, animals, are converted into justice. See, the Lord is expecting great things from us. He gives this gift to Louisa. This is her gift. She has written it down in the 36 volumes. And now we have the 36 volumes which we are reading, which we are studying, which we are putting them into practice. He says you have to know them, to love them, in order to possess them. And that's what we're doing. We're learning how to possess this gift. He says, Louisa says, I remain frightened in seeing this, and I prayed to my highest good Jesus to placate himself and to let the kingdom of the divine fiat come soon. That was 1928, 1927. May it come soon. We're 90 years ago. She prayed this. And we're saying to Jesus now, because we have all the volumes, may the divine will come soon, Lord. May it happen now, Lord. May your kingdom be established now on earth. Hurry, Lord. He says, when I find the souls that want this, I will give it to them. So far, he hasn't seen us wanting it because he hasn't given it to us. Volume 24, April 30th, 1928, having transported myself outside of myself, my always loved Jesus had shown me in the many chastisements with which he, Jesus, wanted to strike the human generations. And I shaken, thought to myself, how can the divine kingdom of the divine fiat come on earth if the earth abounds with such evil and the divine justice is arming all the elements to destroy man and what serves man. So here, Jesus takes her out of herself with him, and he shows her the many chastisements which God wants to strike the human generations. And she's shaken. And she says, how can the kingdom come when there's so many evils? And how can the kingdom come when divine justice is arming all the elements? This is the sun, the moon, the stars. You have to understand, this is everything is being armed against mankind. Because we are the only ones out of order. Everything else is in order. And all the elements, Scripture even tells us, is going to come against us. Because we're not in order. And besides, she says, since the kingdom did not come when Jesus came upon earth with his visible presence, how can it come now? As things are now, it seems difficult to me. So here's our question. She only asked Jesus our questions. And my sweet Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter Louisa, everything you saw shall serve to purify and prepare the human family. The turmoils shall serve to reorder, and the destructions to build more beautiful things. If a collapsing building is not torn down, a new and more beautiful one cannot be formed upon those very ruins. I, God, shall stir everything for the fulfillment of my most holy divine will. This is a divine decree, Jesus says. It's going to happen. And he says, either you accept my gift with love, this is the gift of the divine will, fiat, let it be done as you say, or he says, it will come to you by divine justice. And so therefore the Lord is asking us, he's saying, it's the human family has to be purified. Now we can voluntarily turn away from sin, strive for perfection. And again, that's a lot of work, because we're so used to sin. We're so used to doing our human will. And Jesus is saying, be attentive. Read this, study this, put this into practice. Learn how to live my life, Jesus says, by doing everything with me, in me, through me, for me. Don't ever do anything, not a thought, word, or deed, separated from me. Always be close to me. Always. That's what he's looking for. He says, but if you can't do that, then you must be purified. He says, I will stir everything. I'm going to purify everything. He said to the apostles, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now Jesus is saying to us, get ready. You know, you want to live your life? You know, you want to live a life that is separate from God? Then you're going to have to face divine justice. Psalm 24, June 25th, 1928. As man sinned, he drew upon himself the indignation of divine justice, and the earth remained deserted, infernal, and in places depopulated. Image of those sterile families in which there is no laughter, there is no feast, there is no harmony, because without children, there is no one who breaks the monotony of two spouses, and the nightmare of isolation weighs on their hearts, leading them to sadness. We see this especially in our day with artificial means of birth control. We just want two children, and one dies, and the other is hurting, or both die, and the family has nothing. You know, my father was the 12th of 14 kids. Boy, they had a lot of... And one of the things I found with my family, my father's side, was the laughter that my aunts had. It was, no matter where we were, you could hear them laughing. They were having a wonderful time. And they, again, my father was born during the Depression. And the 14 of them during the Depression. And they got through. What happened was when the banks were collapsing, my grandfather told my grandmother, take the money out of the bank and bring it home. So, you know, they took the money out of the bank, and as she's walking out, the guy across the street who owned a bank says, put it in my bank. It'll be safe there. And so she did. And so they lost everything. And during the, they had nothing, but they had each other. And this is what we see happening today. It's 2.1 children. Is it 1.2 children? I forgot. No laughter, no feast, no harmony. Because without children, there is no one who breaks the monotony of two spouses. And the nightmare of isolation weighs on their hearts, leading them to sadness. This is where we are today with going against Humani Vitae. People don't even know. Artificial means of birth control is a mortal sin. They don't even know that. And here Jesus is asking us to be open to life. And I found, this is one of the things I found, people who have an artificial, people who have a mentality of contraception, artificial means of birth control, if they have that mentality, the divine will is far from them. And until they go to confession and really make reparation, the divine will is far from them. The divine will is life. It's to live the image and likeness of God, infinite God, to enter into his life. It's that drop of water put in the chalice filled with wine. This is what Jesus is. This is why he says to us, be open to life. When I hear a grandmother say, well, thank God you're pregnant, I'm not. You know, that's against life. Glad you're pregnant, but not me. You know, it's against life. When a child, Jesus says, everything that I have created is a work of God. The only life of God is a child. And what do? We're killing them left and right. We're making sure that we have a nice car with 2.1 children, 1.2 children. We have a nice home. It's very sad that we don't understand what Jesus is asking of us. Jesus says very, very clearly, he says, when you live in your human will, all you have is the nightmare of isolation. It's a nightmare of sadness. 524, August 30th, 1928. With the kingdom of my divine will, everything shall be renewed. Listen to this. In creation. And all things shall return to their original state. Wow. Can you understand what that means? All the animals in paradise are still alive. When the kingdom of the divine will is established, he says, renewed, everything will be renewed. Everything will return to their original state of perfection. Man will be perfect. Creation will be perfect. There will be no more, hurricanes or tornadoes or hailstorms or floods or tidal waves. Or earthquakes, none of that will exist. It can't exist. And he says, this is why many scourges are necessary and shall take place, so that the divine justice may place itself in balance with all my divine attributes, in such a way that by balancing itself, it may leave the kingdom of my divine will in its place, in its peace and in its happiness. So here, God is going to balance everything out. Everything will be perfect. Just imagine. You will be able to sleep at night if there's sleep. You'll be able to dance if you can't dance. You'll be able to play the piano if you've never played the piano. Everything is going to be perfect. See, God, this is what he has planned from the beginning. Now he says we're going to return to the original state. Everything's going to be balanced. Everything's going to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So he says to Louisa, therefore, do not be surprised if such a great good that I am, he uses his name as God, I am who am, preparing that, and that I, God, want to give, is preceded by many scourges. He's going to bring the earth back to order. Think of a wild horse that you're trying to tame. You know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And Jesus says, I'm going to bring everything in order. It's not just a wild horse, it's wild man. So therefore, there will be many scourges. It is my divine justice that claims its rights. As God, he demands this. So that once balanced, it may place itself in peace with creatures, giving them no more bother. More so since, he says very clearly, the children of the kingdom of my divine fiat shall no longer offend it. And my divine justice shall change everything, all of itself, into love and mercy for them. Love and mercy. This is why I said the fire that's coming is symbolized by the sacred fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the fire of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The love of Jesus and Mary is coming to the earth. And we're going to participate in this. But I'll tell you, there's a lot in each and every one of us that needs to be purged. There's an awful lot. That's why that book, The Deliverance for the Laity, is so powerful. As you go through that book, Deliverance for the Laity, wow, you see in the back of the book, we have participated in every sin, whether we realized it or not. How? By parents, godparents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, neighbors, scoutmasters, teachers, professors, doctors, everybody that we've been involved in has a sliver or two of all that is wrong. And Jesus says, I am the solution. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. And he's usually the last person we even think about. We go to our friends. I mean, why is Facebook so awful? Why is Facebook so horrible? Because people have to go to confession, and they refuse to go to a priest. So they confess their sins to one another, and then they absolve each other. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about that. You should see what I did. You have to confess your sins. See, the narrow road to heaven is between the two candles on the altar. It's the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church. If you are with the church, if you're going to the sacraments, you're finding the narrow, you found the narrow way to heaven. It's everything that God, he says to Louisa, this is the medicines I've given to mankind to heal them, to bring them to myself. And now he says, now it's coming, it's a new beginning. It's going to be love and mercies coming to the earth with scourges first. He's going to put everything in order. And I'll tell you honestly, if we are not in order, we will wail and grind our teeth. Those that love Jesus and Mary, it will be ecstasy. Volume 24, September 5th, 1928. My daughter Louisa, how much I suffer. If you knew how much creatures offend me and how they themselves arm my divine justice to be struck by it. And while he was saying this, he seemed that lightning, flames, and ice were coming down from heaven to strike the creatures. See, sin begets sin. When we sin, it affects the whole earth. There's no such thing as private sin. When we sin, there's earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues, because of our sinfulness. And if we can learn to turn to Jesus in the divine will, if we can learn to stop offending God, there will be, the chastisements will be lessened. Because there are some bad people. We hear it in Christmas. Peace on earth to men of God's will. It's not peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's a lie. That's the devil. It's peace on earth to men of goodwill, of God's will. And there are some people that do not want, they're not of goodwill. They're not of goodwill. And we pray for them, but we don't want to participate with them. They're not of goodwill. And see, this is why this book of deliverance for the laity is so important. As you go to those back pages and you go through all the things that are happening, when you look at something, I never participated in that. Well, let me tell you, more than likely you did and you don't even know it. I mean, a lot of these horror movies that are out there actually use demonic chants. They actually use the prayers that the Satanists use. And those who watch those movies participate in it. See, Jesus he wants us to be purified. And he's going to do it. He says, if you knew how much creatures offend me and how they themselves arm my divine justice in order to be struck by divine justice. That's what's coming. Read Our Lady of Akita. Read Our Lady of Knock. Read Our Lady of Revelation. Read Our Lady of La Salette. She's warning her children continuously, you must turn back to my son. Read Father Gobi's books. She says, get ready for the return of my son. If you're not ready, how can you be with my son? How can you be in eternity? Our Lady of Revelation says time has now come to an end. That means when time stops, we enter into eternity, she says. And wherever you are, that's where you are for eternity. The only way to reach a high place in heaven is now. It's now. And he's asking us, pleading with us, I want you so close to me that you could be near me for all eternity. But it's up to you. What do you want? Vine 28, March 12, 1930. And only the acts determined the coming of a good, not the time. More so, since they, hardened sinners, were forcing our divine justice to exterminate them from the face of the earth, as it happened in the flood, that only Noah, by obeying our holy will and through the lengthiness of his long sacrifice of building the ark, he deserved to be saved with his family and to find in his acts the continuation of the long generation in which the promised Messiah was to come. He worked for 100 years building that ark, being ridiculed and mocked and laughed at, spit upon, ignored. Sound familiar? If you are seeking Jesus, if you are seeking to be one in his holy Catholic Church, wearing the scapular, praying the rosary, going to confession, you will be mocked and ridiculed as well. But you have to remember that 100 years is very important. This is the 100th year of Fatima. And October 16th, 1917, the Freemasons said, we will own the Vatican, 2017. You have to understand, God gave the devil 100 years. I really do believe this is the time. The miracle of the sun happened, and the devil is furious. So he says, we'll conquer the church. Well, Jesus says he's going to win. And we know he's going to win. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us, would you be willing to say fiat? Would you be willing to enter into this gift? Would you be willing to link yourself with Louisa? Would you be willing to learn this beautiful grace, this blessing of the divine will? You have to know it in order to love it, and then you will possess it, Jesus says. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.